And it's Psalm 90, and you can find it on page 599 in the church Bibles. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like a new grass in the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it's dry and withered. We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Chapter 6, starting at verse 37, can be found on page 1034 of the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. This is the word of the Lord.
A lovely hymn that I chose, I remember, for my first service back here after I'd been licensed as a reader nearly 38 years ago on the 10th of November 1979. What a lovely hymn. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So much of the trouble we hear is about man's inability to get on with his fellow men. Violence and warfare across the planet Earth, terrorism, and we're just still reeling from those awful events in Barcelona and Spain. Industrial and political strife, racial tension, marriage breakdown, and so on and so forth. And in our second reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 45, which you can find on page 1034, Luke chapter 6, 37 to 45, page 1034, if you want to follow this through in the Bibles in the pews, Jesus has a lot to say about the secret of good relationships. And I'd like to draw out four main points, which are really four basic principles of Christian living. I expect they will just reaffirm what most of us already know and try to do, although as always I'm preaching at least as much to myself as to anyone else. But the occasional reminder certainly does us no harm at all. So firstly, the way we behave towards others shapes the way God will deal with us. Secondly, the way we behave has a powerful influence on others. Thirdly, judgment begins at home. And fourthly, there has to be a radical change in the hearts of men and women. So let's look at each one of these in turn. Firstly, the way we behave towards others shapes the way God will deal with us. The passage in Luke chapter 6 opens with a very well-known verse, which can be open to misinterpretation, especially if it's taken too literally. Verse 37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And verse 38 continues, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be shaken into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Two negative commands, "Do not judge, do not condemn," are coupled with two positives, "give, forgive," to spell out the general principle, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." We do well if we manage to observe the negative ones, but that's not enough. When Jesus says, "Do not judge, you will not be, and you will not be judged," he's not saying that we must not judge people so that people will not judge us. He's talking about God judging others. And he's saying that if we do not judge others harshly, we will not be judged harshly by God. If we do not condemn others, we will not be condemned by God. If we are ready to forgive others, we will be forgiven by God. Now, previously, Jesus taught his followers to do to others as they would want them to do to themselves. Now, Jesus teaches this principle: do to others what you want God to do to you. Treat others not only how you want them to treat you, but also how you want God to treat you. The point is to be careful how we judge. We shouldn't judge according to human standards. If we're quick to condemn others, then God will be quick to condemn us. If we're unwilling to forgive others' offences, then God will be unwilling to forgive our sins. Jesus calls us to follow his example on the cross, as we can see later on in Luke 23 and verse 34, where Jesus forgives his tormentors at his crucifixion. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He commands us to do good, give above and beyond, and do not expect any repayment. And verse 38 illustrates this point, where Jesus is saying, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Give a good measure to others, and God will give a good measure to you. Treat others how you want God to treat you. A good measure was one where the grains were put in and pressed down and shaken so that there was no extra space. The measure was good and full. Then the grain would be poured into a cone above the measure, running over. The cup will simply not hold any more because it's full of grain. Have you ever opened a packet of something and thought you were getting ripped off? You feel as if you didn't get all that you've paid for. We do not want to purchase a bag full of air. We want it to be full to the brim, and that's the idea behind a good measure. Secondly, the way we behave has a powerful effect on others. In verses 39 to 40, Jesus tells a very short parable to illustrate this point. A blind person cannot lead a blind person without both of them ending up dead. The idea is very simple. Be careful who you follow. This seems to be directed at his disciples as a warning about following the Pharisees. They are spiritually blind. Jesus calls the Pharisees blind repeatedly. They had the word of God, but did not possess the truth. They didn't properly understand the scriptures, and they were trying to lay a false path to God. They claimed to know the truth, but they didn't. They took texts and twisted them erroneously. Look at verse 40. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do we need to choose the right teacher? Jesus says the reason is that everyone who is fully trained will become like his teacher. That's why Jesus' disciples must not follow the Pharisees. They were spiritually blind themselves, and if they followed the Pharisees, they would fall off the path to God and into the pit. So we need to choose the right teacher. We need to hear the word of God and understand what it really means. Now, there's a sense in which we are all leaders to someone. And if we are blind to some important element of God's truth, we shall surely be in danger of putting ourselves and them in the ditch. And how many people have been hurt by someone who may be thought of themselves as spiritual? Perhaps they looked down on others and criticized and hurt them because of their criticism. And this was the case with the Pharisees. It's easy to be a Pharisee. If you are walking with God and you have all the right answers to the doctrinal questions, or think you do, you can begin to assume that somehow you are better than other people, and God thinks better of you than he does of others. This was certainly the difficulty with the Pharisees. It's difficult with a lot of people who live with a legalistic faith, a legalistic religion. Sadly, I think there are some strands of this even in the Church of England. Jesus is also being very subtle here, since he's speaking to his disciples. Jesus is their teacher. Disciples should look like their teacher. You can follow men, or you can follow Jesus. We are not disciples of people. We are not disciples of historical figures in the church. We are disciples of Jesus. We should follow no one else. Thirdly, judgment begins at home. Now look at verses 41 to 42. The saying about the speck of sawdust and the plank is another of those hyperboles which Jesus used to such good effect. It sounds absurd, doesn't it? But it's true to life. You have two people. One has a speck of sawdust or wood. All of us has had that moment when we've got something in our eyes. It's caused us pain and uncontrollable blinking. The other person has a builder's beam in his eye. The judgmental person is very often struggling with his own inner contradictions or sense of guilt. Being harsh on others can be a kind of substitute for failing to cope with our own shortcomings. We may not see as clearly as we think we can, and this continues the theme of Jesus' sermon. Do to others what you would have them do to you. We need to remove our own speck first, otherwise we are hypocritical. And this is the first time that Jesus has used the word hypocrite. Jesus is maintaining the theme of his sermon. When I see my own beams in my eyes and I understand the difficulty of removing them, I will be more compassionate and merciful to others when trying to help them. When I see my own errors, I will be more forgiving. I will judge as I would want God to judge me, because I understand that I'm just as much of a sinner as the next person. And fourthly and finally, there has to be a radical change in the hearts of men and women. Jesus concludes his sermon to the crowds with a call for fruitful lives. And he illustrates his final point with a story about trees in verses 43 to 44. Good trees do not bear bad fruit, and bad trees do not bear good fruit. Trees are known by the fruit they produce. Figs don't come from thorns, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. Excuse me. We know if we are disciples based on the fruit we bear. Our actions and our tongues reveal the abundance of the heart. How many times have we tried to change our external behaviour but have failed in the effort? Perhaps we have some sort of addiction or vices that we cannot overcome. We stop for a short time, but then we fall back into it. Look at what Jesus says again. Bad fruit does not come from good trees. Bad fruit comes from bad trees. Good fruit only comes from good trees. What Jesus is telling us is that the problem is with our hearts. Now, Leon Trotsky, the head of the Red Army in the Russian Revolution in 1916 that toppled the Russian Tsar and established the world's first socialist state, advanced the theory that socialism should be established throughout the world by continuing revolution. And he forecast that Marxism would produce the new socialist man, immeasurably stronger, wiser, and subtler. He said the average human type will rise to the hearts of an Aristotle, a Goethe, or a Marx, he said. Instead, 70 years of totalitarianism, Marxism, produced only the old, unregenerate man. And it was this failure, more than other, which led to the downfall of the communist empire. And why? Because Marxism and communism ignored the existence of God and the fundamental sinfulness of the human heart, the problem of the human heart. The reason we are not successful in bearing good fruit is that we have a serious heart condition. The only way to bear good fruit is to change the heart. Jesus has the answer. Your heart and mine needs regeneration. Your heart is the problem which is leading to these sins. Stop only attacking the symptoms and address the heart. Stop trying to change the fruit without changing the heart. The fruit will not change until the heart changes. Figs indeed are not going to come from thorns. Grapes are not going to come from a bramble bush. Christian discipleship is not about keeping rules. Discipleship is loving the teacher and trying to be like the teacher. Until we have a heart that loves Jesus because of what he has done for us, we will never bear the full fruit of discipleship. And so, in conclusion, this passage from Luke 6 deals with harshness and judgmentalness. We disciples are commanded to deal first with our own sins, including our judgmental gossip. Then we can have an attitude of love and forgiveness for others who are struggling. Indeed, an attitude of forgiveness and generosity towards others is an essential mark of one who has been forgiven. So let's pray. Father, to see clearly, I need to discern and deal with my own flaws and weaknesses and sins. Please help me not to avoid this eye surgery that you wish to perform on me, but help me to trust you to be gentle and not hurt me in the process, that I in turn might be gentle with others and not injure them when you seek to use me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.